Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 486. It's the 20th of May, 2016, just in case you didn't know. On the podcast today, I have CEO of Kibo Mining, that's Louis Coetzee, and he talks about the successful completion of phase one of the environmental and social impact study, the Mbeya Coal to Power Project. It's a massive project where I look at small cap stocks. And now I try and just stick with companies that hopefully can be mid-tier companies. And I'm talking about companies that can go from almost double-digit or single-digit market cap to triple-digit market cap. And Kibo has that potential. And this completion of this phase one of this environmental and social impact study is another milestone ticked off by Kibo Mining. And we'll talk about the significance of that with Louis in a bit. But listen, if you like what you hear, please put them on your Vox Markets watch list. Just go to Vox Markets and type in Kibo or click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Also on the podcast, CEO of Ian Stratford Taylor of Fairfax Group, that's FFX ticker, talks about how they are bringing currency exchange into the modern era online. And I like this. I like the idea. They're doing very well. And of course, I also ask Ian and name three reasons why any listener right now should put you on the Vox Markets watch list. And if he convinces you, hit follow and you'll get that news flow from them when they release it. Also on the podcast, Nicola Duke, the Duchess of the Chart, the lady with the technicals. She'll be looking at the following stocks and annotating the charts. You can see the charts right here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And it's Savannah Resources, SAP, Keffi Minerals, Keffi, Oxford Biomedica, OXB, AstraZeneca, AZN, Jubilee Platinum, JLBP, sorry. And also, today's suggested stock with potential is suggested by Phil. I'll read that out in a bit. But it's Jubilee Platinum, the chart of which Nicola is also annotating.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Kibo Mining. That's K-I-B-O ticker. It's Louis Coetzee. All right, Louis, how are you?
Fine yourself, Justin?
Yeah, I'm good. Tell me where you are, Louis.
Well, I am at the moment in Cape Town. If you could see me right now, you will see that I have the marvelous Table Mountain as a backdrop for this interview.
Oh, nice. I've been there once, and lovely area. I stayed in Camps Bay there, and yeah, it's a lovely place, isn't it? What's the weather like down there?
Perfect weather. Good 22 degrees Celsius, beautiful blue skies, and nice and sunny.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, Louis, for anyone who's not aware of Kibo, tell us what you're about there at Kibo.
Well, in a very concise way to put it, Kibo is a multi-commodity, single-country-focused development company focused with all our projects in Tanzania, where we, at the moment, are developing three flagship projects. The Aneti Nickel Project, which is a very big, large nickel deposit that we are looking at, or potentially large nickel deposit, let me rather just qualify that. And then we have the Imwero Gold Project, which we are busy with feasibility work on. And then obviously the Mbeya Coal to Power Project, which is our biggest project that we're working on at the moment.
And the Mbeya Coal to Power Project, that's the priority at the moment, isn't it?
That is absolutely our priority at the moment, where we are busy with a definitive mining feasibility study. We've recently announced the definitive power feasibility study on the mining and power components of that, respectively. And then just yesterday, where we've given a progress update on the environmental and social impact assessment as well.
Yeah, so when we say coal to power, I mean, we assume people know exactly what that means. But can you explain what that means, please, Louis?
Well, it only means that it's an integrated project where we will be building a 300 megawatt power station as the first phase. Obviously, also planning for further expansions later, even up to 1,000 megawatts in time to come. Mm-hmm. And the fuel source for that would be the coal deposit that we own in Tanzania. And literally, we will be building the power station on top of that. In doing so, providing Tanzania with affordable baseload electricity. Just to try and give that perspective, it's a country that's got about 48 million people with only at the moment about 1,000 megawatts operational in terms of generating capacity. Now, if you compare that with countries like South Africa, where we have 60 gigawatts for a similar size population, it gives you an idea of how big the demand for electricity, affordable electricity, is.
Yeah, sorry, say that figure again. So I thought I missed that. So say that figure again. Sorry, Louis.
The generating capacity?
Yeah.
Well, at the moment in Tanzania, the operational generating capacity is 1,000 megawatts. 1,000 megawatts.
Yeah.
For 48 million people.
Yeah.
As opposed to a place like South Africa with similar size population, where we have 60 gigawatt generating capacity.
Okay, all right. So it's a much needed, resource there, and you seem to be having a lot of, agreement and backing from the Tanzanian government. Is that right, Tanzanian government?
Absolutely. So as we've been saying all along, and as the results that we've been announcing lately prove, we have absolutely strong and positive support from the government, who has done everything they can to make sure that the project keeps on developing at pace and without unnecessary obstacles.
Okay, and that was proven this week, partly, I suppose, because you had successfully completed phase one of the environmental and social impact study for the Coal to Power project. Now, how significant is this, Louis?
It is absolutely significant because, there are three key components. We must have a reliable and feasible fuel source, which we've proven already. We must have a reliable and feasible power project, which we have proven in the bankable feasibility. And all of this has to be supported by a responsible and acceptable environmental management program, which is done and developed out of the environmental impact environmental and social impact assessment. Now, the first phase that we've done now means that we've convinced the government that we are capable of addressing all the potential issues and that we will be able to address that successfully in the environmental management plan that we put forward. None of these can happen unless we satisfy the Tanzanian government from an environmental point of view, and the fact that we crossed the first hurdle without any issues whatsoever is really significant.
Okay, and so what is next? Is it phase two of this?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and do we know how long that will take?
Well, as we said in the RNS of yesterday, phase two, we already commenced with. We are in a very advanced stage with the specialist studies that are required for that. Those are all nearing completion now, and depending on how quickly that can be processed, it can be a little bit earlier or even a little bit later than the scheduled date, but we are on schedule in delivering that on schedule as reported in the past as well.
Yeah, so you're on track, you're on schedule, everything's going to plan. And essentially, on an overlook of the timeline here, because I've seen a presentation on your site there, but on the timeline, are you about sort of halfway along the process here? Is that right?
I think that should be about correct. We are on schedule, as I said, with all the work that we're doing. We are now desperately working on getting everything together in terms of incorporating all of this information into the integrated bankable feasibility study, which we have always said we are planning or targeting for completion by the end of quarter two, beginning of quarter three. At the moment, we do not see any reason we will not be able to meet that. So we are still in that. And that is, of course, a critical document. It's just obvious that it is. And we at the moment on schedule to meet that target date as well.
Marvellous. All right, Louis, listen, as a summary, if I'm listening now as a new investor or an investor that's only just heard about Kibo Mining, give me three reasons why I should put you on my Vox Markets watch list.
Well, I can answer you sort of tongue in the cheek, and I can give you the three flagship projects and tell you that's the reason, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
But having said that, the three reasons I still maintain is, one is our profound understanding, knowledge, and an ability to close projects and convert projects in Tanzania. The second thing is the fact that we have projects that have a very clear and definite course or roadmap towards completion into production in a fairly short space of time. And thirdly, the merit, the mere merit of the flagship projects that we have in the company. All of this, all three the flagship projects that can be company makers independently in their own right.
Marvellous. Well, Louis, I'll let you get on and enjoy the sunshine of Cape Town there. Thanks for coming on, and speak soon.
Thank you very much, Justin. All of the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Executive Officer of Fairfax Group. That's FFX. Ticker code Ian Stratford Taylor. Ian, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, tell us all about your company. What do you do? How do you do it? And how do you make revenue there?
Okay, the simplest way to put it is we looked at foreign exchange, and that's not the fancy, dealers in phones screaming at each other's type stuff, but real foreign exchange where people need currency, whether it be for travel or to wire money to buy things, etc. And concluded there wasn't enough technology. It was very backwards. If you think about traveling abroad, you're taking banknotes and what have you to foreign countries, seems a bit so last year, doesn't it? So
yeah.
We decided to apply some technology to it. And we needed more advanced delivery mechanisms, particularly for travel money rather than taking notes. So we've got the prepaid card product there, and we also have, I guess, where we're different to everyone else is applying this tech. We've put all the solutions for foreign exchange in one place. So whether you want cash, a prepaid travel card, or wire money, it's all in one platform, all in one app, all in one place. In terms of where we make money, it's as simple as what we charge the customer in terms of foreign exchange spread compared to what we have to pay to hedge it on the other side. That's our real revenue stream. And we try and be as clear and as transparent as possible, hence the name, about what we're charging, and eliminate any hidden fees like a lot of other practitioners.
Yeah, so, okay, so I'm going on holidays in June, and let's say I want to use your service. So how do I go about it? Is it via a website or via an app or what?
Both. Historically, it was website to become a customer, and then the app was only actually when you were a customer. But funny enough, you should ask, but as part of what we've been working on the last couple of months is making the app so that you can become a customer through the app as well. And that's harder than you may think, because obviously there's a lot of you've got to be very careful about security. These are financial services products, etc. So we're not going to put anything live like that until we're absolutely sure it protects the customer as well as us.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so going on the website, and what, I set up an account, do I? Log in, and yeah. then do I yeah. deposit money, or how does that work?
Well, it's very simple, and part of what's important for any online business is to make it as easy as possible for a customer to become a customer. So you simply go to fairfx.com, sign, go to the registration form. All we need there is a valid email address, a password, your name, address, date of birth. That's pretty much it. What it is not is a credit check. It's an identity check to check you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. And then as and when you need any of our products, you can pay us. Typically, people pay us via debit card. So just, you know, type in the debit card and pay us for free. Some people pay by bank transfer, but obviously we can't validate that until the money arrives. And lastly, credit cards, but really it doesn't make sense to use a credit card. And so quite a small proportion of our traffic comes that way.
Okay, okay. And so you had your final results out. I mean, I'm looking at the figures. They seem to be going well. Turnover up 31.9%, revenue up 35%, gross profit up 31.8%. And so is it generally just retail customers, or have you got other kind of customers as well?
The business started focusing focus versus diversity is quite a difficult balance to get in a business, but we focused on retail to start with. And it's still the predominance of our business, but we have a fantastic corporate version of essentially the same thing on the card side. It's an expenses platform that allows corporates, typically SMEs, to control all their travel and entertainment expenses in one platform, including doing their expenses, which, as we all know, works in several places, can be a paperwork nightmare. And that corporate side is growing very rapidly, probably quicker than the retail is now.
Yeah. But do you know what my question? When I go to change money, I'm normally unorganized, disorganized in some way, and I normally leave it at the last minute or something, and I end up getting it the worst rate at the airport and stuff. So I mean, but generally, when I have been organized, I've searched around for rates. How do your rates compare? Because I mean, a lot of people, that's all they go on, isn't it? They look at the best rate and they'll go with that. So how are your rates?
Our rates are very good. I mean, we go to the large price comparison sites like Money Supermarket, Money Saving Expert, then we're consistently at the top of those charts. So we make sure we're competitive in terms of rates. Obviously, we're way better than airport. I mean, I would caution anyone listening to this, never, ever leave it to the last minute. We all book our flights well in advance, car parking, whatever. This is like the last horizon. People kind of still sometimes leave it to the airport, and it's just the worst thing to do. So plan ahead, have a shop around. If you have a shop around, I'm confident you'll end up on our site and using our products.
Yeah, well, I see. At the moment, you have a little table there on your site, and you are, you know, come out obviously top there. I suppose. Tell you how much you'll save. So you'll save on currency card, for example, £132.93 and all that stuff. So that's good stuff. So how do you retain customers, for example? Like I said, I'll go on holiday, say, twice a year, maybe, and I'll forget where I last changed my money or what happened. So how do you retain customers?
Well, I mean, you mentioned earlier, how do people become customers? And having a good app, which we do, and we're having an even better one very shortly, is vital to that. And the reason that's relevant is that once someone's gone to the trouble of downloading your app into their phone, they're an incredibly sticky reason. It's, you know, it's a fair amount of hassle to delete our app, go with someone else, and you'll be able to find it on your phone quite easily, won't you, in terms of using us before. Plus, you know, without being pestering, we do send newsletters to customers regularly but not intrusively. So, for instance, we did one today because the pound's had a good couple of days. It's back over 130 on the euro in terms of the spot rate. So we send out what we call rate alerts to customers saying the pound looks good at the minute. If you want, you might want to consider topping up your card a bit. So we try and stay in contact with our customers as much as possible without being intrusive.
I like that. I really do like that. Because I've often, so you know, we often see it when we're not organised enough. There's trouble. We need someone to organise it for us. So we often see, you know, on the news, whatever, that the euro is taking a dive, and or you see the pound is strong or weak at the moment. You know, so it's not a good time to change. But it'd be nice to say, listen, you know, the pound has been, you know, over the last few months, it's the strongest it's been for a couple of months. If you're going abroad, it's worth changing money now. Because I've often thought of that, you know, when you've seen a big dive in the euro or something, and say, oh, and you know you're going to Europe, you think, well, I should buy some euros now. And to have it on a card or a reminder from an app, it's very good, actually. Very clever, that. I like that a lot. And so, the fine line is, I suppose, not pestering people, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, totally, totally. And equally, the balance of what you say in these types. So the race alert today, trying to explain the nuances of Brexit and currency trading, you know, is more than people want to know. So it's as simple as, you know, there have been a couple of opinion polls suggesting it's more likely we stay in the Eurozone. That's good for sterling. So sterling's had a good couple of days. And we try and come up with one or two sentences that explain why it's done well. And, you know, people may or may not want to buy some euros or dollars or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously with clever tech now, there's no way of knowing, isn't there, where people... I mean, if someone books somewhere regularly, is there any way of knowing? I mean, I don't know if that's in the future plans, but almost predicting, you know, patterns of holiday time and travel, etc.
I mean, historically, we focused to start with on how much people put on their cards rather than what they took off it, i.e. the spending patterns. But we do have all that data. Mm. And again, you've got to strike the balance between being an assistance to customers and giving them what they need without being too big brotherish, you know, say, well, I can see you go to this restaurant five times a year. So it is in our thinking, but we do have to strike that balance.
Yeah, okay, all right. As far as your results, how were they? Did you meet expectations, and are you pleased with them? And what developments going forward will you be looking at?
I am pleased with them. I mean, the key for us last year and this year is about attracting as many customers as we can as quickly as we can. You know, you call it a land grab, you can call it whatever you like. But that's in terms of almost planetary alignment of it's never going to be easier to get a customer than it is now. You've got an enormous marketplace, people still disenchanted with banks and what they're charging, opening people's eyes to they can get a better deal. People are very receptive to doing financial services transactions on a phone and on apps. You've got all those things in our favour. So now's the time to be adding customers. And as I said earlier, you know, they tend to be sticky. So that's what we're going for last year. That's what we're going for this year. And in the meantime, we're just getting bigger and bigger. And the gross profit line keeps increasing. So, yes, I'm happy with the way things are going.
Okay. And one other question. So how do you initially attract customers? Are you marketing, and how are you marketing?
It's what I'm not is wedded to the idea of TV, but we've used TV in the last couple of years. And contrary to many people's expectations, you know, when the internet really took off or e-retailing really took off, you know, people expected the advertisers like ITV, etc., to do really badly. But what actually happened was, TV as a medium for advertising online businesses has been very effective and continues to be so. The reason we use that right now is you look at, I don't know, let's say car hire and type that into Google and look at the number of people searching for it. It's immense, or flights or cheap flights to XYZ. Number of people still today going online to look for travel money, travel currency or travel cards is still relatively small. So we've got a behavioural change exercise to do here, which obviously benefits us, but actually benefits anyone else in our sector in terms of making people aware that there is a choice and driving them online. So that's why TV for now is the best medium for us. Over time, as the market sector gets a little bit more mature and people do go online more, then that will morph away from TV and more into digital marketing. But for now, it's TV.
Okay, Ian. Well, listen, if anyone needs any further convincing, could you give us three reasons why an investor should put you on their Vox Markets watch list?
Yes, I can. Firstly, I think what's key is this is an easy-to-understand business and an easy-to-understand business model. What we're doing is providing value for money, foreign exchange to people. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand what it is we're doing. Second of all, we've got over half a million customers already, and we're growing rapidly. And if you think about a company, you know, if you could think about those customers who are extremely sticky as being a kind of a core revenue base that we're increasing every year. And if you pick beneath the numbers, you can see that happening. So it's a stable business growing rapidly that's been around for the best part of 10 years now. And thirdly, I'd say we're definitely, whether it's luck or good judgment on my part, who knows, we're in the right place at the right time. We're on a rising tide in terms of this is a product or suite of products that people need and maybe didn't even realize they needed. And we're there providing these products at a time and via devices, you know, we're even talking on one now, that didn't exist 5 or 10 years ago. So we're definitely pushing against an open door in terms of growing the business right now. I guess the fourth reason, which you didn't ask for, is I believe it's undervalued when you take all those things into account.
Marvellous. Ian, it's been lovely to chat to you, and please do come on again when you have more news.
I'd love to do that. Thank you very much.
The Box Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
Joining me on the podcast right now, it's a Friday. That means I have the lady, the Duchess of the Chart, Nicola Duke. You're right, Nick?
Thanks. You're too nice to me.
It's nice when I hear your voice, because I know it's a Friday, I know it's a weekend, and it's tinged with a little bit of sadness.
I know, and I get so tired by Friday. It's like, hooray.
Yeah, but then, do you know what? I genuinely miss the markets. When it comes Sunday, I'm in one of those enviable exactly. positions. I look forward to a Monday morning. So I think the markets are back open, and I like that, you know?
You should trade the Forex, because then you can trade Sunday night.
Sunday.
I just want to be clear, that is not trading advice. Nobody should start trading the Forex.
I think 2 days is a nice break, and that's why I look forward to it, because it's been a break, you know. If I didn't have a break, then I wouldn't really look forward to it so much. It's the contrast, isn't it? Anyway, Nick, what do you think? What's your opinion on anything? First of all, quickly, in 10 seconds, how did you get into trading? Because that's the question someone asked in Skype.
When I was 14, my mum opened an account and let me buy shares, and we used to look the price up in the newspaper, and I started that way.
I love that. That's what I'm going to do with my children. It's just I sort of got into it. I remember my grandfather owned shares because he used to work in the South Wales in the mines, the pits. He was an electrician there. And he had shares, I can't remember what it was. We used to watch on teletext, and of course, it had one of 44 pages it would be, and if you missed your share, you'd have to wait for another 44 pages to go around and go back to the start. But it got us into it. He'd say to us, have a look if it's in green or if it's in red, or, you know, yeah. We'd wait for it, and we get a little addicted to those little figures on the screen.
I used to draw my own charts on graph paper, so...
Oh, there we are. That is a born chartist.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. I've done my very own chart. Lovely that. Okay, let's look at the charts, and let's go to the charts, Nick. So I send you some stocks being suggested by people.
Yes, I'm just going to say quickly before we start. I really like the look of all the metals this morning. I bought copper, but platinum is bouncing off a really nice level. So is silver, and you know gold. People have tried to sell it. I know people who've lost a lot of money trying to sell gold. It does not want to go down. So. I think that we could see a bit of a bounce in the metals here.
Really? Okay.
And well, the US dollar, surprisingly, you know, which would be amazing considering we've had 6 Fed speakers this week all talking about how the market isn't pricing in enough of a chance of a rate hike in June.
Why are they doing that? Is it a part of me thinks?
Why would they hike rates the week before the Brexit vote? Like, I would be astonished. Maybe July, but I think... You know, September is probably nailed on.
You would think
barring
September?
A global collapse. But, you know, they look at the share prices. So if the stock markets go down between now and then, they won't hike. If stock markets stay up, they might. So
Yeah. Well, I'm part of me thinks that, I think they're saying June because they want to obviously give a little bit of a heads up for not June, but maybe July or like I said, August, September.
Right.
But you think September, yeah?
Yeah, and they've always said very clearly that they're not going to do it unless the market's prepared. So I think that this is a bit of pre-preparation. Because then if they say this and then they don't hike in June, but everyone is expecting it, and then, you know, I think they just want to make it so, you know, by the time they do it, just like they did in December, you know, everybody goes, oh, thank God, finally, you know, we've done it. It's only 25 basis points. It's really not. You know, if we're doing it because the economy is that good, it shouldn't make any difference.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, it's like we've been, how many years now since the financial crash? And
it's ridiculous, you know, that we're still here. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got to start sort of, I don't know, people said there's no normal anymore, but normalizing sooner or later. Okay, and I think the world will adjust anyway, you know. Yeah. I think we just hike them up.
Really, so cute. I stuck my toe in the water with the metals this morning and, you know, miners. And so we'll see, you know.
Well, copper's been having a bit of a hammering, because I know this, because, I mean, I think it's related. I own Asia Met, which are going to be a copper producer. They're exploring at the moment. But like I said, they, you know, they've taken a bit of a knock of late because the copper has weakened a bit, hasn't it? But you think it's on for a bit of an upturn here?
Yes, I'm starting, you know, small. Like, it needs to do some stuff to confirm, but it kind of looked good today. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, let's go to the stocks. And suggestions.
Okay.
Savannah Resources, SAV, has been suggested. And this is also a copper play. But it's been doing very well of late. But today, is it down today? I'm not quite sure. Let's have a look here. So it's but three. Oh, I'm trying to make sure.
Yeah.
I should have my chart before. Yeah.
Savannah Resources. I really like this stock, but we're very overbought and we're at resistance. When we looked at it before, the lows from 2014, which come in at 3.75, are really tough overhead resistance. And also, it's the weekly 200 moving average. If you've got a chart that can go back that far and calculate that, right here at sort of 3.42, 3.44. In this stock, it's becoming overbought on the weekly as well. Mm-hmm. I would like to see this consolidate and pull back a bit to buy it. Like, I really like it, but it's pretty overcooked. And I think if we can't close above 3.42 on a weekly basis, then it's got some coming back to do. So where is the support that we could look at buying it? Maybe 155, but I think that there's much better support around 2.7.
Yeah.
So if you're long, I would take some profit off.
Okay. Well, if they're 1.55, I'm in there. I bought these at 1.69, and then I sold for a little profit because I had other copper miners, and then it took a while to get going. But listen, last couple of months or so, it's really starting to rally. But like you say, I'm now scrolling back out to those 2014 lows, and you're right, exactly right. The previous support there is now resistance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right on top of the
And the thing is that you can look at, like, even if you've got nothing like that to guide you, if the market's at like new all-time highs and you've got nothing else to buy and sell against, look how far we are from the 200-day moving average. It really needs to catch up. It's just starting to turn up, so it looks really good. But, you know, a MACD, an RSI, they're all saying we're a bit overcooked. And so that's why I like it, but no, not here.
Yeah. I mean, the trend is starting to turn upwards, isn't it? All those 200-day moving
average. Definitely
is. But like you said, it's been short-term, it's been overcooked a little bit. So a bit of patience, as ever, always helps,
and this,
I think. You know?
This should not go back below 2.18.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Marvellous. Okay, the next one is Keffi Minerals. I'm a holder of this stock. I quite like them. They're waiting on funding, essentially, which should be Q3.
And okay.
Really see the motor because they're building. They got two sort of mines or assets in Saudi Arabia and Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian one is first. And Ethiopian government just agreed $20 million worth of equity, sort of building road infrastructure to the mine. So it's looking good. They're waiting for overall funding for the mine Q3, and this should really motor then if that comes through.
So did this have a really nasty spike down last Friday, or is this my chart?
No, do you know what? I know. I posted this on the Monday. It's only in Pro Real Time, which you use, I know.
Okay, yeah.
It's an excellent platform. And then I thought, what has happened to Keffi? Yes. And it's a glitch. And why does that happen? Yeah.
It's so funny because it goes down to a fib level or two. Anyway.
So last Friday, Keffi, where were we by?
Why has Keffi stalled and stuck at 0.6, and why can't it get above it? Mm. Look at a weekly chart. Again, support becomes resistance. So the lows in 2010 are 0.6. And that is what we keep banging our head on. And if we can get just a daily close above that, like, that will get some attention. We'll be on our way.
Yes.
Because I like this one quite a lot.
Yeah. Again, it's turning up nicely. All the moving averages
it is.
Are starting
it's holding
to,
above. Everything's in the right order. It's holding above the 200-day moving average. But, you know, at the moment, we've got a triple top at 0.6. And the reason for that is that 2010 low. So soon as we can get above that, we are on our way. And the next, then we should go to the big round number one, which is
all right.
A long way from here.
To one penny!
Is that what it is?
yeah. It sounds small, but obviously depends how much you hold in the stock. And the percentage gain is huge there.
Yeah.
Which,
by the way, the one is the 2009 low. So sometimes it really helps to look at zoom right out and look on a weekly chart. But yeah, I like this.
But we've
got to clear that six problem level.
Yeah, I often do that now. I mean, if I can't see anything on a daily chart time frame, I put the weekly or even monthly on sometimes. If I'm not trying to look, what's going on? You can't see any sort of, you know.
No, that's
pattern.
The chart I start with, especially on the spiky ones. Yeah.
Okay. Next one is Oxford Biomedica OXB. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right, you know, I shouldn't like this, but I do. I think it's trying to this month, you know, since the end of April, we've been trying to put in a higher low and then we need a higher high and we've reversed the trend. I think it's really trying that moving averages are still out of order, but above 6.15, we're on our way. First target would be 6.9. I think eventually we should see 9 if we can. Because at 6.9 is the 200-day moving average and the first Fibonacci trouble. It's also the low from like last August. Yeah. So that's where we can look to first if we can get that higher low in.
Yeah. So the lows at the moment, that low there hit in about 5 pence actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is setting up really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, a reasonable target for this, if we can make higher low and then take out 6.9, would be 9, which is quite a nice number.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'd be on our way.
On our way!
Yeah.
Next one, it's a biggie. I slipped this in, because I'm still interested in this chart. I'm thinking, what's going on here? It's a bit of a messy chart.
Oxford Biomed, by the way, eventually, if it repeats the first rally from the 2013 low, you know, we should be looking up towards 18 if we properly get going. So this one, you know, looks good for a long-term view.
Yeah, okay. That's OXB. Let's go to AZN, AstraZeneca. It's FTSE 100 stock, taking a bit of a hammering, down at £38.64. And it's been up at like 48 quid. And it's having problems, isn't it? It's tried to rally a couple of times.
Yeah.
And banged its head into a moving average, come back down, all the way back down. And so now, where's a good support level here?
Like my Fibonacci stuff and previous resistance, you know, because here we are, we're holding, you know, the March 2014 low and the August 2014 low. So we're sort of hovering just above those. And we're also, if you look at a weekly chart, sitting on the weekly 200 moving average. So that potentially we could go higher from here. And I think if the broader market does, it will drag up AstraZeneca. But in Fibonacci terms, we kind of need to go a bit lower. And the best support is previous resistance, which is at 3.5 and 3.55, which would be those, you know, 2006 highs and 2010, 2013 highs.
Yeah, well, do you know what?
Sorry.
If it goes there, I'm buying some of this.
If it goes there, it's an epic buy. It is.
They pay a nice dividend, let's be honest. You know, pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're not that hugely affected by recession and stuff like that, are they? It's good, you know. Because I'm looking for a third FTSE 100 company to own, and I think this and the sector's right. You know, I've got Royal Dutch Shell.
Yeah,
I've got Standard Chartered.
I'm going to keep an eye on AstraZeneca because I really do think it has potential. It's just it's not quite there. It needs to go a little bit further, maybe. And those, you know, those previous highs, especially, you know, around 3.6, 3.5, brilliant levels, and then 3.53,
And let's be honest, you said there, as long as the market goes higher. Now, I don't think we're going to rally hugely before the Brexit, you know. I think that will throw a bit of a, you know, spanner in the works a little bit. So it may come lower, definitely. And
still trending lower. I did not, this one's just not ready. Sorry.
Okay, next one is Jubilee Platinum, a JLP.
Somehow I've accidentally closed it. That's annoying. Here we go. Jubilee Platinum. Finally breaking out, it looks like. Yesterday was the first close above the 200-day moving average since the beginning of March, where we were sat on top of it. I think it looks really good to go higher. But buy dips, not rips. But yeah.
Hang on, just throw that out there. I've never heard that before. Let's say that again. Buy dips, not rips.
You want something to buy against. So if it's not oversold yet, but a couple of weeks of this and it will be. And, you know, there are some previous highs around 3.64, 3.65 that might stall us. To say we're going to go back to the lows. This is a really nice breakout, but it could pause there. Sometimes if a market pauses for a couple of days and goes sideways, you can see it build support there, and then it's got something to launch off to continue higher. So if it's ripping, you know, and you missed it, don't chase it, wait.
Yeah, I like that saying, Nick. I can't believe you just busted that one out after, about a year in the podcast. Buy dips, not rips. Okay, cool. Marvellous, Nick. That's lovely. And will you be sending the annotated charts?
I will send you annotated charts, yeah.
Lovely. And I'll put those on the website there. And people can listen to the podcast and look at the charts and see what Nicola's talking about. And that's great. Just go quickly, going back to Keffi. When it has a glitch like that, like pro real time, does it stay like that or what?
I've only just sent it. I'll send them a message. They normally, if you send them a message, you clean it up.
Okay, cool. Because it's only happened on that. I looked at
platforms. They're very good. Like, just send them a message and they'll usually clean it up.
Because I nearly had a heart attack when I saw that. I thought, what's wrong? So I hold stock in that. I thought, what's going on there? And then I checked another chart. It wasn't the same. Mars. Marvel, have a nice weekend, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential is suggested by Phil. It's Jubilee Platinum, JLP. What does the company do? Processes platinum, a group of metals, and owns one of the largest areas of unmined platinum in the world. I like the accuracy right here. Listen to this one. How many shares does the company have in issue? 989,212,194. Spot on, Phil. Love that. Love it. What's the current price of market? Love it, Phil. What's the market price and capitalization of the company? The company is 2.85 pence. Let me just check on the chart. Let's go to the charts, guys. JLP, let me just check. It's 3.45. That's gone up since you suggested this. It's had a bit of a rally, actually. So the market cap is just above 29 million. What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? Loss of 7.9 million to the 30th of June 2015. How much debt or cash does the company have? 15 million debt to fund tailings processing plants. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. And number one, turnaround story and recently restructured. Number two, fully funded and set to take advantage of the PGM's recovery and granting of mining license to the Jatly Platinum due imminently could generate massive upside. That's number three. So that's Jubilee Platinum. Please do your own research on the stock. These are just investment ideas. Not all of them can go well. You know, some of them may go phenomenally well, some phenomenally bad. That's where your research comes in. And of course, always manage your risk. Thank you for listening. By all means, get involved. Suggest a stock. Click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. There should be a weekend podcast, hopefully. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.